Moving beyond earthly love.
Our world has become sometimes intolerable. It is our own making. So now, in order to improve this, or repair the world, or the house, the big house that we live in, with so many rooms which are the nations, then we should know that evil is avoidable. Evil is avoided by doing good, by keeping the commandments, by loving thy neighbors. But because our mind is so used to an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, Matthew 5:38, it is difficult to do what we think we ought to do, or to treat others in a very loving way. Therefore, we need a stronger force to help us, to pull us out of our habitual thinking and actions. Everything in this world is actually also good for us, even evil. Evil is our mistakes, but then we do not have to stay in the mistakes forever. At least the mistakes are a kind of shock. When we receive the effect of our mistakes, we will be shocked into realizing that this is not a proper thing to do. It causes us misery and unhappiness. Therefore, we turn around. And even all things in this world which are beautiful and enjoyable are there to remind us of our true happiness within, and our true home. Therefore, it is not a sin to enjoy the things that God created for us. But if we always feel very attached to these things, God will remind us that this is not proper. Therefore, we will sometimes experience unhappiness or misery from the things that we cherish most. It is wrong to deny the world, but it is not right to sink deep into the world all the time, because we miss the better half of life, which is spirit, which is more enjoyable than anything that this world could afford. Everything in this world is just a reminder of the true happiness, the true glory, and the true life that we should have, and that we should know, because we have forgotten. Many people ask me about woman and man relationships, and sexual pleasure, and all that. They ask whether it is sinful. I say it is not. But you should know that there are many more pleasures than that. Sexual pleasure is only a copy of the true pleasure when you are in union with yourself, when both forces within you, the feminine and the masculine aspects within yourself, are united. The union between man and woman is just a duplicate of that one. So, God sends us into this world not without any instruments to remind us of the kingdom of God. It is just that we have forgotten that these are reminders only. We just love the copy and forget the original. And that's what makes our life miserable. And even then, we could not enjoy the copy completely. Therefore, many of the man and woman relationships are rocky, and the sexual relationship between you is not that holy, not that mutually respecting, but it is sometimes abusing, and just a frustration release, a kind of instrument. Therefore, if we truly want to enjoy this life, we should enjoy the true life, which is 100,000 times better than the life that we know on earth. By knowing that life, we can also enjoy this life. Many practitioners, maybe not knowing a master, or not being initiated, or not having a proper understanding, or not yet having a proper practice, misunderstand that to be a practitioner, we must put down everything and be cold to all relationships. It is not true. It isn't true. This is why in the Tao Te Ching, Lao Tzu says, "Ordinary mind is the Tao." When you achieve the Tao, or enlightenment, the more you are enlightened, the more you are relaxed, and the more you become very loving. You might not demand physical relationships with another person, but you just act in a normal way, and do your duty. Anyhow, it is difficult to understand this, but you will in time. God is not so narrow-minded as to forbid us to love our husband or wife the way we used to. God is not so cruel as to separate a loving couple in order to attain her. We must enlarge our heart to love God, and also to include other beings, including our own family members. If we could love other beings that are distant to us and strangers to us, Why can't we love our family members, our immediate beloved ones? Just be natural, loving more than ever before, then we keep our family harmony intact. Otherwise, if our partner is unhappy, it is difficult to be happy ourselves. In general, men and women, when they are married, it is not only for physical contact alone, but it is for warmth and care. And in the name of meditation, you must not abandon your partner with any excuse at all, because that is your duty to show your love and care to another human being, and you have committed to that duty, so you must do it. Loving another person is an honor, it is progress, it is not a degrading process. You have to love each other just like a master loves you, even with or without physical contact.
Question.
Many Eastern religions have the tendency to view the flesh, or the body, almost as something to be discarded as garbage. I feel that when I came into this body, I signed a contract to care for it as best as I could, to make it function to live within the realm of this world. One has the powers of the mind, the God powers, but doesn't this require a sort of balanced view? Trying to live well on both realms, as long as you live on both realms.
Master.
Yes, it should be so. It would be more balanced. What the religious texts mean is that we shouldn't overindulge in our fleshly sensations and desires, and forget the spirit. Sometimes it is said to an individual at that moment only, or to a group of individuals only, to people that need to hear that statement. Then it became a general guideline, and it lost its meaning. When it was said at that moment, it was very strong and correct. But it is later recorded and given to other groups, and it is no longer correct. So, do what you feel like, but do not overindulge in any fleshly desires. How can you forget the flesh? You cannot starve the body and meditate. You must keep it. It means that you shouldn't always take care of the flesh and have no time for the spirit. Some people do that, therefore this statement is for them. Jesus also said to forsake the flesh for the spirit, but he ate and took care of his body as much as he needed.
Question.
How do I escape from my flesh, my love and desire for the opposite sex?
Master.
Don't get away from it. Otherwise, we will have no more children. Just stay cool and have one at a time. Have one partner only, okay? If you have a soulmate that you find is good for you, and a three-dimensional love, physical, emotional, and mental, it is fine. And then, the so-called fleshly desire will lose some of its stronghold on you after you regulate it with a stable relationship or within marriage. So don't worry. It is just the beginning.
Question.
Must one work or deal with sexual energy in order to gain enlightenment?
Master.
No. Just relax. All the energy and the struggle you spend to fight with your sexual urge is better spent in meditation. Why should you torture your body so much? It is a natural phenomenon, and it will lessen its intensity with time. If you are married, everything, even passion, will become very much lessened. The more you meditate, the more heavenly enjoyment you will find. Sex, I will tell you, is just a substitute for heavenly bliss. And because most of us lack the real pleasure, we cling to the lower substitute. But once we know the real thing, the other loses its charm. Just like when we grow up, all the toys, the plastic model cars, have no more great meaning to us. It is because we have a Mercedes-Benz, we have a Rolls-Royce, a Cadillac, or any other car. We know it goes faster and is more useful. So, don't worry about sexual problems, just get enlightenment. After enlightenment, don't fear that you will lose everything. You just enjoy things more intensively, but you know when and how. And do not abuse your power of enjoyment like you did before enlightenment. You might have sex now and again, if you wish and enjoy it. But enlightenment is your main aim in life, and it will never leave you after initiation. It keeps pushing you. You can't just not go forward, you can't just be ignorant again. And even if you have a little exercise now and again with your wife, so what? God doesn't care that much. You fear too much of everything. Even a little sex scares you. Nothing is so scary.
Question.
What do you think of abortion? And when do you think that the soul enters the body?
Master.
Oh, you shouldn't have abortions. There is no question about when the soul enters the body. It is a question about evil thinking and the killing tendency. That is what we should abolish. The killing tendency. No need to ask me when the soul enters the body. When you want to have an abortion, you have killing tendencies already, and this is what we have to uproot. We have to cultivate compassion and wisdom, and not lean toward the negative side of our nature. The more we lean there, the lower we become, and the more we will be dragged down. You should also cultivate meditation, and then one day, you will also know when the soul enters the womb. There is no definite time, it enters when it enters. It may leave and come back again. So you never know when the soul is there or not. Even if the soul is not there yet, we already have this killing tendency, killing our own flesh and blood, and that is not good. If you kill an enemy or a fierce animal, you have at least the excuse to protect yourself. But if you kill an innocent soul, don't ask. Killing an innocent soul is not good. Please do not have such an idea, degrading yourself. Whatever difficult situation arises, you can make it. Pray to God, find a solution, or give the child to an orphan organization. There are many couples in the world who want babies. They can adopt a baby. So do not have such an idea.
Question.
Is it possible to be fully divine and fully human at the same time?
Yes, a fully divine person is a fully human being. A fully human being is a fully divine person. Now we are only half human. We do things with hesitation, with ego, and do not believe that God arranged everything for our own enjoyment and experience. We separate sins and virtues. We make a big deal out of everything, and accordingly judge ourselves and other people. And accordingly suffer by our own limitation about what God should do. Actually, God is inside of us, and we limit harm. We like to enjoy ourselves, but we don't know. We say to ourselves, I shouldn't do that. But why be vegan? Simply because the God inside us wants it. It is against our principle of not wanting to be killed. We ourselves do not want to be killed or have our property stolen. Now, if we do those things to other beings, it means that we go against ourselves, and this makes us suffer. You shouldn't beat yourself or starve yourself, for example. It is the same thing with killing. We shouldn't kill, because it is against the principle of life, and it makes us suffer, so we don't do it. It doesn't mean that we limit ourselves that way. It means that we expand our life to all kinds of lives, not just to human beings, but also to animals. Our life won't be limited to this body, but also extended to all the animals and all kinds of beings. This will make us great and regain our grandeur.